1320 WILS. Wow. So today, Anthony Weiner pleaded guilty to sexting a 15-year-old girl. He faces up to 10 years in prison now. I mean, and this went on and on. This started back in 2011. Remember when the picture came out on Twitter? He lost his seat. Then he ran for mayor, got in trouble again. And then last year, this sexting with a 15-year-old. Let's talk to one of the country's top experts on addiction and sexual behavior, Perry Halkidis, incoming dean at the Rutgers University School of Public Health. Perry Halkidis. Perry, great to have you on WILS.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and you've really extensively researched these addictions. Now, he was just sexting. What's so addictive about the sexting part of things?
Well, I think that when you think about any addiction, including internet addiction or texting addiction, you're thinking about people who have an impulse control, or they have impulsivity and compulsivity. So when I think about the situation with Anthony Weiner and other people who are addicted to the internet or to texting, it's very similar to people who have addictions to substances like alcohol or to gambling or things like that. Okay. It is a behavior that they spontaneously and on a whim do and then obsessively do it. And that is very consistent across addictive behaviors, regardless if it's a drug or the internet or gambling.
Yeah, he said he hit rock bottom after this thing, but how did he not hit rock bottom after he lost his seat and became, you know, the laughingstock of the country?
Well, I think one of the things that's most problematic about people who are suffering with addictions is that there's often this underlying other psychopathologies like depression, anxiety that they're not dealing with, but also the addiction fuels them in some ways. He is online. He is texting because it is making him excited. It is giving him a thrill. And without it, he doesn't have those sensations. And so even if he hits rock bottom, he still feels that without proper therapy, without proper intervention, he's still feeling an emptiness. And as a result of that, goes back to the behavior.
Okay. If you have an addiction like this, does it amount to not being on the internet at all then, or?
If you have an addiction like this, like you have any addiction, so people who have alcohol addiction, many people who belong to Alcoholics Anonymous will say to you that you can never drink again and that for the rest of your life you cannot go near alcohol. Mm-hmm. So for somebody like Anthony Weiner who has an internet addiction, it is going to be critically important for him to understand why he's doing the behavior. And two, if he can't control the behavior, yes, he has to get the internet, the texting and the internet out of his life, yeah. At least the sexual part of the internet out of his life.
But how would that work? I mean, is it something that once you're on the internet, it would eventually creep back in, that idea, well, maybe I'll do some sexting now? Or?
Right. Well, I think like with any addiction whatsoever, unless a person really deals with it, it's a disease, right? And if a disease goes unchecked, like let's think about an infection, for example. If you don't take the full course of your antibiotic, mm-hmm. the infection is going to come back. If you don't get full treatment to deal with your addiction, your alcohol addiction, your internet addiction, it's going to come back. Mm-hmm. And he went and sought therapy, but clearly the therapy and the treatment he got was not enough.
Yeah, last fall he entered the outpatient therapy for sex addiction. And is that any different than alcohol addiction in terms of treatment? Do you deal with it differently in the treatment end?
Very, very similar. Cognitive behavioral therapy is often used to treat many kinds of addictions. But here's the thing. You can't Band-Aid it. It's not like you can do it for 1 week or 2 weeks or 1 month. This is a lifelong phenomenon. We see this very often with Hollywood stars who bottom out because of their drug addiction, okay. And they go in for a month, and then 3-6 months later, they're back again. So people cycle back into their addiction, and what it means for him and what it means for people who are addicts is an ongoing lifelong vigilance and attention and treatment for the disease.
So if he gets such a thrill from sexting, can he replace that with some other thrill that won't land him in prison?
Well, and that's what cognitive behavioral therapy actually does. It gets him to understand why he's getting the thrill out of that and try to find other sources of that satisfaction. Absolutely.
Yeah. What is it about that sex thing? Obviously, there's a sexual aspect to it, but it's not sex, right? So how do you explain this thrill that he would get that would make him really destroy his life over just being on a computer and sending pictures and chatting?
Right, and so what's really interesting about sexting and internet addiction is, you're right, it's like rarely about the sex, right? It's mostly about the pursuit, right? And it's mostly about the behaviors. And if you think about it from a brain perspective, but from a neurotransmitter perspective, what this does for him, it releases these like neurotransmitters in his brain, and dopamine, which is one that makes you feel good, and it makes him feel thrilled. And that thrill, that high, which is the same thing that crystal meth does to people's brains, is enough to continue to fuel the behavior
But he needs to be sexual online to get that. He can't get that thrill from just chatting with people in general or being a, you know, being a presence online. I guess
for him, that is the source of the thrill. For other people, it's drugs. For other people, it's alcohol. For other people, it's shopping. For other people, it's gambling.
So, in a sense, is it just the risk? Is it the fact that he's like, wow, my entire life could get destroyed here, so that's what triggers this rush of dopamine or whatever?
I mean, you know, one could argue that from a social perspective also, it's like that I'm going to say this with quotes, is naughty boy behavior and getting caught that gives him the thrill, right? But that is probably tied to some chemical release in his brain.
Mm-hmm. But for example, if he were doing things that were maybe exciting but weren't as risky and you weren't putting his entire life on the line, would he just not get that much of a rush out of it?
He might not. He might not. And, you know, and one of the things that people will tell you who are addicts to things like crystal, is that their life doesn't ever really seem to be the same without the substance, right? It's not as exciting. It's not as wonderful. Mm-hmm. So can he substitute with other things that can probably give him, you know, excitement and thrills? Maybe, but it's never going to give him the thrill that this actual behavior is giving him and has given him and clearly continues to give him, or he wouldn't do it.
Hmm. Is there any kind of good, healthy risk-taking behavior that can replace this kind of behavior, in your view?
You know, I'm a harm reductionist, and what that means that is when you think about people's addiction, you can go one of two ways. You can say you either go cold turkey, you stop using the drug whatsoever, or you do lesser things, right? So, for example, if you are drinking vodka, and you're drinking a bottle a day, and I believe in harm reduction, Maybe the approach is instead of completely reducing alcohol, I move to one glass of wine a day or two glasses of wine a day. Mm-hmm. So I reduce the harm, right? So there are things he can do, right? Mm-hmm. So he can get a sexual satisfaction or a thrill with using, you know, that with using the internet without having to interact with other mm-hmm. people.
True. Well, that certainly many people do. Here's what I'm curious about. By the way, Perry Halkidis with us. He's the incoming dean at the Rutgers University School of Public Health. What about shame, Perry? He must have gone through so much shame. How did him out of it? Explain that, please.
Well, so I think one of the things that happens pretty consistently with people who are addicted is that they have a psychological deterioration, they have an emotional deterioration, and they have a social deterioration. What you're speaking to is a social deterioration. It's like they lose things in their lives, right? And so how does he deal with the shame? Well, he deals with the shame with the same way that he deals with the addiction, which is trying to understand why he got to that point and not rationalizing what he did, but trying to forgive himself for what he did. Ultimately, this man has ruined his political career. He has ruined his family very much. Like an alcoholic often loses everything in their lives if they continue to drink.
You know, some of these other issues don't bring on the type of shame. To me, he went through a shame that would really have made a lot of people stop the behavior. Do you agree with that?
I do, but I think that his behavior is not an uncommon behavior. He just happens to be a public figure, right? So his behavior, what he is doing, is being done by many, many, many other people, except they're not politicians. And this is what makes me think that this man has a huge challenges in his life that have gone untreated is he knows better, right? He clearly knows that this is going to put his life at risk. Yet he's so strong and so powerful, he can't control it.
Did you see the documentary on him?
I did.
What do you make? I mean, he was, and we just 30 seconds, but he was in the New York streets. People were essentially laughing at him and yelling at him. That's just, it looked to me so painful. What did you make of that?
Well, it probably was painful, but at the same time, he's a politician. Like many politicians, probably has some narcissism, right? Yeah. So the attention, any kind of attention is better than no attention.
Oh, there you go. Perry Halkidis, incoming dean at the Rutgers University School of Public Health. Perry, great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure. Yep. Good night.
We are back Monday, 6 p.m. Good night.
Mid-Michigan's more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, Lansing, and worldwide at 1320WILS.com.